Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Jesus had a plan for this world, and that plan actually is you. It's every one of you that know him, that love him, that serve him. His plan was that wherever there was any kind of decay in the world, any place where there was injustice in the world, any place where there was pain and suffering in the world, any place where there were people that were oppressed in the world, that you were his plan, that you would move in as he moved in. Because that's why he came into this world. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to set the captives free. He came to restore that which was broken and lost. That was his heart. And you're his plan. And where there is good in this world, you're his plan for that too. That you would bring greater good into the world. Edmund Burke said this word right here. He said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. I mean, that'd be like the opposite of it. If we stand back and don't actually step into the plan, if we don't step into what Jesus created us for, then what happens in the world is evil can triumph. But if we were to flip this upside down, here's what we might say in a positive way, that good prevails when good people act out of their deep goodness. That's the plan, that out of a deep goodness and where that resides in us, I would say there's an old word for it. It's called the soul, which means your very being, your very core, all of who you are, that out of who you are would come what you do. And good prevails when good people act out of their deep goodness, deep inside of your soul, being that out of that comes the incredible good that's in the world, Jesus' plan. Martin Luther King Jr. said that the arc of the moral universe is long. I love it. Because if it weren't long, we could find despair set in. But because the arc of the moral universe is long, it has a chance to bend toward justice. And he says it does bend toward justice. I would be a proponent of that as well, because Jesus said, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I'm the beginning and I am the end. I'm where this world got its start in me, and I am where it gets its end. And this is a God of justice and a God of hope, a God of power, that the arc of the universe is eventually going to make its way there. And you're the plan. You're the plan. That he is asking that we participate in that work. So I wonder this morning, like for us in this world that we're living in, at this present time, not looking back, not wondering forward, just presently, what do you think is going on in the world? Is it getting better or is it getting worse? Because my guess is there's a bunch of us here this morning that might say, I think it might be getting better. And the reason I think it might be getting better is because we're seeing a younger generation that's fallen in love with Jesus at increasing number. We're seeing more and more people that are excited about reading the Bible and the younger generation, and that is a hopeful sign that the world is getting better. And if that's you, you probably wake up with a thought, maybe like this, every single day. Like, I wonder today what I might give myself to as part of Jesus' plan for this world, what I might give myself to, who I might talk to, who I might invest in, how I might live out of my deep goodness to bring good into this world, how I might actually make the good world even better or bless somebody's life to make it a better day for them, big or small. And if you're somebody that's over here saying, well, I'm not sure the world's getting better. There's a lot of signs that I would point to that the world's getting worse. You might wake up the exact same way. You might wake up in the morning thinking to yourself, how do I give myself to the work of God in this day? How do I, out of my deep goodness, that which is good in me, bring good to the world, live out of the core of who I am, so that as the world goes poorly, I might step in for somebody that's really struggling, really hurting, really in need, really broken, really oppressed. I might step in and actually make a bad world better for them, which tells me we might be asking the same question. The question might be this: what good are we to bring to that which is already good or really bad? What might we bring good to this world that'll make an already good thing even better, or a really bad thing, bring it towards some form of good? Because I'm usually not an either-or person, but a both-and. And I would say I can point to all kinds of evidence that the world goes badly. So can you. It would not be hard to do that. Make a laundry list. It'd be quick. And we could also point to some things that are really, really good, really incredible, really amazing. All of that to say maybe the plan of Jesus was this, that what good we are to bring to this world is to make an already good world better, and where the world goes badly, to make that better too. And if that is true, and I believe it is, and I believe we can really get at scripture that talks about it, because Jesus said, as the Father sent me, Jesus didn't come to make the world worse. He made it so that captives would get set free, those that were enslaved would be free, those that were burdened would find themselves lifted of a burden, those that were broken would find themselves put back together, those that were blind would see, that those that were lame would walk. He came to make that which was broken healed. He came to heal it, and then to restore, and not just for here, but for all eternity. He set that into motion, and he said, as the Father sent me on that mission, now I send you my plan. You're the hope of the world, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we'll have to ask, because we're talking about a lot of good here, but what is good? What is it? Like, really at its core, what is good? Is it just the stuff that we think? Or is it the stuff we do? Or is it the stuff we think and do? I actually think a deep understanding of deep goodness has the power to transform us. I believe this right here, that if the true meaning of good and goodness is something that has the power to transform us, it's actually worth us leaning into. I think this is we're in a series called 7 Words to Transform Your Life, and it's hard to believe that a word could transform your life. A word on a screen, a word on a paper, that's gonna do nothing, but a word that's lived into has the power to transform your life. And this word called good shows up in the Bible a lot, a lot. In fact, it shows up 700 times in the Bible. The word Jesus, there is no greater word. There is no greater name. The name above all names, the name at which we are going to bow if we're still here on earth or when we get to heaven. We will bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he is. That name, Jesus, shows up like 970 plus times. The word good shows up some 700 times in the Bible, meaning this word holds weight and it matters. And understanding what it actually is has the power to transform us. So I want to go somewhere with you. Come with me. We're making a journey to the very dawn of creation. Envision yourself. I don't think it'll be hard to do this. It may be hard to get there fully, but envision that you're standing with God and he has just spoken to existence everything that is, all of it, and you're taking it in. Not just a tree like we're seeing right now, my favorite time of year. Like the reds are like, is there a red that's deeper than that red tree that we can see out there? Or the yellows or the oranges, the beauty that is right now. But imagine you're standing there with God watching it unfold as one galaxy after another is spun into existence. And then the earth, it takes its shape. And the glistening sea and the rivers that are rippling, the mountains that gave rise and the animals on the earth. And at the end of it all, God begins to speak this word, I think has the power to transform. It's the word good. And in the first chapter, of Genesis. We see it 4 verses in. God said, after he began to speak order into the chaos, you're there next to him, and you're so connected to him, you can feel it. It is good, he says. The Hebrew word is tov. It is tov. Genesis 1:10, it's tov. He creates some more, 1:12. It is tov. And you're taking it in and going, yeah, it is good. It is tov. 1:18 and 1:21 and 1:25. It is tov. It is tov. It is tov. It is chapter 1, verse 31. After he made us, his plan for the world, after he made us, he actually said, it is very tov. All right, so that's a lot of words about tov, right? About good. But this word tov, when we think about it, what does the word actually mean? It means this. This is what God was saying. This is as I intended it to be. To be tov is something as God intended it to be. Now, I mean, we throw the word good around pretty, I think if we're thinking about it this way, we're pretty reckless with the word tov, because we'll say it about a hamburger that's really greasy, like this is really good. Or your dog, like good boy, good girl. Or the lions, finally we can actually say they're good. All right? I don't know if I would go all the way tov. If they make the Super Bowl, then we'd say they were as God intended them to be at that point. But until then, can't quite get there. Like Michigan last night, they won a game. Was it good? Uh-uh. Was not good at all. If you're a Michigan fan, I'm a Michigan fan. I'm like, I'm glad we got the W, but I don't like how we got it. What is this? Tov is something as God intended it to be. And so he's standing there looking at it and going, this is just how I wanted it, just how I wanted it, just as I intended it to be. He made the garden just as I wanted it, the fruit on the trees just as I wanted it, Adam and Eve just as I wanted them. This is just as I wanted. It is tov. And then God did something wild. Here's my plan. It's yours now. It's yours now to do with it what you will. Will you make the world better? Or will you make the world worse? Will there be tov? Will you take it now and continue to make it as I intended to be? Or will you take it and make it as I did not intend it to be? Yours. I'll join you in this work if you'll invite me in. I'll empower you for the right kind of goodness in this world if you let me breed that goodness deep inside of you so that it will be tov. Tov, which is to say this. I don't know if you thought about this before, but when God created the heavens, the earth, it's just the beginning. It actually says that. In the beginning. It doesn't say at the end. The end is somewhere down the road yet. And we're in the middle somewhere. It says in the beginning, which means it wasn't done. It was just good as he intended. The beginning got started just like he intended it to be. And then it was our turn to do with it what we would do with it. And we in this world, probably right in this room, would say, the world, I see, I think it's getting better. It's becoming more tov in the way that God intended it to be. Or we might be saying, and, or, it's not. It's getting worse. There are things that are just so sad and not the way they meant to be. And how do we live with those two things? Well, Jesus, master communicator, he taught a short message. And here's what Jesus said about us, his plan. He said that no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Okay, like, what are you talking about, Jesus? I got it. Like a lamp on a stand, you don't hide it. That doesn't make any sense, because if you want something to light up a room, you pull the lamp, little string on that thing, and it lights up the room. Got it. And then he goes on to say, your eye. Oh, we're not talking about a lamp. We're talking about you, his plan. Your eye is the lamp of your body. Okay, so like a window into my very being, my soul. Got it. When your eyes are good, oh, there's that word. Good. When your eyes are tov, when the window into your very being, when what you're letting into your very core is tov, as God intended it to be, your whole body is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, when they're not tov, when they're not as God intended it to be, your body is also full of darkness. See to it then, this is where we can make a choice here. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Check it. Like what's in your core? If it's not empathy towards other people, if what's in your core isn't goodness toward other people, if what's in your core isn't putting things back in the way that God would long for it to be in this world, if it's not hope for the oppressed, if it's not coming alongside of the broken, if it's not healing, if it's not bringing good news to the people in this world, he says, see to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it is dark, it will be just as full of light. It will be just as it's meant to be, as when a lamp shines its light on you. That's amazing. That if we align ourselves with the nature of God, if we align ourselves with the way of God, that if we don't just take ourselves at the pinnacle of creation and say, yeah, this is exactly the way God wanted it to be, but we actually step into 2025 and say, where is it where God wants it to be like that? I want to join that and make it even more so. And where is it out of step with the ways of God? I want to step into that and bring real hope into that situation. I want to be, out of my goodness, the answer for good in this world. Out of my tovness, if you will, I want to bring tov to this world. Lord, help me by your power to actually do that work. And that work that Jesus is actually speaking about here, that we are invited to actually join into, is actually the work that God does in this world. It's who he is. And the psalmist said it. He said, Lord, you are good. And you do only good. Lord, you are tov, and you do only tov. Of course, because if you do only good, that means that only good you are. And out of the good that you are, you do the good because it is who you are. Now, Dan Seaborn, last week, if you were here, Dan was teaching us that the Psalms were meant to be sung. Not just spoken, not, Lord, you are good, you do only good, but, Lord, you are good, you do only good, which is why I am not the worship leader, right? So, but this is a beautiful, beautiful statement of who God is. This is who you are. It's just your core. There's nothing not good about you. There's only good in you, and as a result, because it's all good, the only work you ever do is good. And when you put your hand to something, it becomes as you intended it to be, with maybe one exception, us, because we have a choice. Us, because he gave us this thing called free will, and you don't have to. You can go either direction. This is yours. I created it this way, but you can take it either direction. Isn't that what Jesus said? When Jesus said, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, Everything about you is good. It's tov. The Greek word that we'd find in the New Testament, it's the counterpart for the Hebrew word in the Old Testament. It's kalos. When you are as you were intended to be, your whole body becomes full of light. You become full of goodness, and out of you, goodness actually comes. There was a moment in the history of Israel, like there's a moment in your life, and let's just be real, there's a moment in my life too, and a whole lot more than moments, where is this good that I'm stepping into, or am I not doing as I was intended to be? Am I acting out of the core that God has created in me, or have I allowed something core in me to actually take me in a direction of anger, bitterness, or division, or whatever it might be? That's what it means to be human, and it's what it means to actually be God, is to extend grace and mercy, and then he invites us to be those same kinds of people. But there was a moment, actually, that you can read in Micah chapter 6. There's a trial that's happening, and if you read it like a trial, you can see it. The Lord gets his moment to speak to Israel, and then Micah gets his moment. He's the prophet, to respond. And then the word that comes, it is so amazing. With what shall I come before the Lord? This is his response, the prophet's response. And he's inviting us to think like this as well. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? I mean, who are we, honestly, to come before the King of all creation, this God of the universe? I don't want to show up empty-handed. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Would that please him? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn? Would that be enough for my transgression, for the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? And the answer here is a hard no. Like God needs any of that stuff. Like God's looking for that from any of you. No, he doesn't need these things. He has shown you, O mortal, what is tov. What is as it's intended it to be. What you were intended to be. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. That you would act out of your goodness good for the world. Where things are good, that you would step in and make them even better. Where things are broken, that you would step in and bring some hope and healing to it. You would act for justice. You would love mercy. Because you've been on the receiving end of such incredible mercy that when anybody's in need of being forgiven, you're the first in line. It's the easiest thing for you to do because you understand how much you've been forgiven from. And you would walk, how? Humbly. With whom? With God. I'm in stride with a God who puts this world into a place. Every time he touches something, it's coming out of his goodness, and it is good because you are tov in all that you do, that we would operate that way. I love what the psalmist says. It's a picture of our future where he says, I will remain confident of this, that I am confident in this. And some of us maybe have been taken off straight on this, that I'm confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, because some have belonged, and I'm not talking about us here, but in the church, some of us have bought into this idea that the world is just gonna get progressively worse until, boom, it's done. And I'll stand against that kind of theology every single time. Why? Because of the Bible. Why? Because of the words of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus broke in this world, not to condemn it, but the world would get saved through him. And then Jesus said, made it really clear that you're the plan. You're the hope. When he looked at each one of us and he said of us that we would be agents of change in this world in a way that I spoke it already, but he said as the Father sent me, your turn. Isn't that what God really said at the dawn of creation? I made all this. It's tov, as it's intended to be. Your turn. You have an opportunity for that person that you work with, that person that's in your house, that person that you love, that neighbor of yours, those communities in which you live and exist, to bring goodness out of the goodness that God has put deep inside of you. And I know that we're meant for that work, because if not, then can you make any sense out of this? Jesus, this is the disciples. You see John over there? John the Baptist has taught all of his disciples how to pray. I don't know. How do we do that? How do we do that? He said, oh, come here. I'll show you. Let's pray together. And he said, start with this. Our Father, call him by name and make it personal. Hallowed, like you are honored. There's like Mackenzie and the team were singing. How beautiful, how lovely, how amazing, how majestic is your name. Address him because God is amazing. And then ask him for daily bread. And don't just think about you, because if you have a loaf and somebody doesn't, like in our community right now, we met with a group of pastors up in 606 in the upstairs office, a conference room. And we had a group of a bunch of pastors along with the two superintendents in our school. And we were praying and we started talking who has a food pantry because of the shutdown, if people are going without food, and I have a loaf of bread, I want to make sure that somebody gets at least half of that, that we can share with the people. And heard that it's over 500 people that are right here in the Jenison area that could be going without food, like now. They're in trouble now. And we went, what can we do? And we talked about it, and Lori and I talked about it, and our team talked about it, and we talked hand to hand, and we went, let's lean in. Let's be that. Let's help people that are in need right now. And he said, pray like that, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us together. Let's go on this journey together of our sins. Forgive us. Lead us not in temptation. Deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I skipped a little part in there. Did you catch that? Your kingdom come. Your will get done here on the terra firma, on this place we put our feet. May your will get done in my school, around the locker that I stand at with my friends. May your way, your goodness, may it happen right here on the earth, and we will join you in that work. I remain confident of this, the psalmist said, that I will see the tovness of the Lord who is tov in the land of the living right here. And part of that, a big part of it, is God is looking at us and saying, I'm confident too. You're my children. And I will empower you by the Holy Spirit to do that work. I don't know how many of you know J.J. Watt. If you follow football at all, he was in the NFL for about 12 years, played for the team down in Houston, the Houston Texans for a while. And actually there was a hurricane that came through in 2017. Hurricane Harvey hit, and it broke his heart because he was in a vehicle and looking down roads that he couldn't travel down, that he traveled down every single day, that were just wiping out homes, the water everywhere. And he just felt this. This is where we act out of, like out of your core, wherever that is. Wherever you hold that, could be the recesses of your heart or the depths of your being, wherever you hold that, he felt it. Like, I need to do something. I just don't know what. And he picked up the phone. He had an idea, and he called his wife and said, I want to write a check for $100,000, see if I can start a GoFundMe to make a difference, because these people are without homes. This stuff has destroyed so much for people, and they need help. What do you think? And she's like, I'm all for it. Picked up the phone again, and he called up his PR manager. Is this a good idea? Like, I'm thinking of doing this. You tell me, should I do it? And the PR manager said, do it. And he picked up the phone again, third call, and he called his called his finance guy, and he said, here's what I'm thinking of doing. And the finance guy said, all for it, do it. And then he picked up the most important call. He called his mom, just make sure it's okay, right? So he checked in with mom, said, Mom, what do you think? And she said, honey, I'm proud of you, do it. And so he started this GoFundMe. $41 million later, it was at that time the largest GoFundMe that had ever happened. $41 million later, he's making a difference to say, things are going badly here. And I got a desire to make some good come. Here's where I think some of the most beautiful good came out of that. It's stories that I don't know that we're going to ever hear about them. Maybe someday. Maybe because we do have eternity to actually share stories on the other side. Maybe we'll be able to take a walk with somebody that said, I was deeply moved in that. That moment in 2017, and I didn't have much, but I dug deep. For me, deep was $20, and I sent it in. Or $5 and sent it in. Or maybe there's a recipient on the other side of it that we're able to sit around and say, hey, when you gave that $5, I cannot over express what that meant to me and my family. Thank you for giving. Or maybe Jesus himself would look and say, way to go. You helped in your way to bring good in a land that needs my goodness. Where things were broken, where things were good, you chose to act out of Tov, your very core, to bring Tov to this world. Here's what J.J. Watt said. When things look the bleakest, humanity has the ability to step up the largest. So maybe you're over here. And you're saying, I think the world is going badly. Maybe that's where you're at. Well, there's some hope. When things look the bleakest, you have the ability to step up the largest. Or maybe you're over here and you're saying, I see some amazing things going well. And even though the world isn't going necessarily well, I see this. Way to go. You have a chance to step in. And maybe I'm right that both of these are true all at once. And I know I'm right on this. Jesus looked at you and said, you are the answer to this thing. Go. Go and paint the world beautiful out of letting me do that work internally in you. I will bring my goodness to you, that out of that place you may bring goodness to the world. Father, we bless you for this word. Shows up 700 plus times in the Bible. And it is deep and rich. It's not just a good meal or a good time or a good experience. This is a deep, transformative, powerful, life-altering, world-changing words that you spoke just a few verses in and declared, it's Tov, as I intended it to be. We are your, as you intended us to be, recipients here today. Come, do that work in us. That then through us, we may look at this world and say, I'll join you in that work. And making it as you intended it to be. In your name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.